Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Good morning, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. This morning, we're in the studios here at Fernwood, and I have with me Rainer and Hal James, Bob and Mary Griswold, and Kim Fink. All are members of our Legislative Action Committee, and Rainer, you're chairman of the Legislative Action Committee. You guys have been really busy digging through the process of the way a bill is introduced and how it works itself through all the committees and either finally becomes law or gets rejected. So you want to elaborate on that process?
Well, we're still novices. We're still learning. But yeah, the first thing we learned, and that was from Michael Speciale coaching us, is that bills live or die in committee. They go to committee first thing. They won't be likely to bring them on the floor till they know they have enough votes to for them to pass. So if we're interested in something, we need to go to those committee meetings, write to committee members, and so on.
And CCTA has done that on a number of occasions.
Kim led the way. Her instincts were right on, and she picked right up on it in the Public Education Committee working on Common Core.
Right.
And it's not a done deal. There's still some problems that need to be solved there, but things have happened that would not have happened if Kim and some of her cohorts hadn't been working really, really hard on
Absolutely. It. Absolutely, and that set a perfect example for other grassroots organizations in the state, because they called on and they started contacting Kim, and the word spread. And next time we went, we had three or four times as many people, people from all around the state, and we built coalitions. And Kim?
Well, the other thing that happened was through going to the committee meetings, we actually got opportunities to speak to the legislature where we wouldn't have had those opportunities before.
Right. We got invited to come and get educated by June Atkinson.
And one thing we really learned is that having a good group of people, largely in number, usually we had from 7 to 12 or so, and that made quite an impression on the legislators, and most of them were anxious to meet us. So at lunchtime sometime, they invited us into the legislative lunchroom so that they could meet us.
And I also noticed that, you know, at first, there were very few legislators at some of the meetings, and they really didn't know anything about Common Core,
right?
Even though they had voted it into law. But as the word spread, you saw more and more legislators getting involved, and they were getting an education on Common Core.
Yes.
And the fact that they removed Common Core from the legislation, the name Common Core, that was a big victory for us.
The next thing we learned really happened very recently is the concept of crossover. It ends the life of many a bill, and what it is a date in the session after which any bill that has not cleared one chamber is dead unless certain things are true of it. This year it was April 30th. The things that are true that allow it to stay alive are if it can be added to the budget or has something to do with taxes and fees, then the broad categories of if it has some concept of redistricting as a part of it, is a constitutional amendment, or has to do with appropriations and finance, which again sort of ties back to the budget, there are ways that it can continue to be alive. And that results in a couple things happening. Finance bills have amendments tacked onto them that are the meat of another bill that didn't make it through. And some bills have financial elements added onto them to keep them alive. So there are all kinds of games and dances that go on.
And what that just recently happened with one of the gun legislation bills.
Yeah, I've got some information on that.
Yeah, it was dying.
Yes, that's House Bill 562, and it didn't make the crossover. But just at the last minute, they put a financial feature to it, allowing $20,000 for it in the budget. And so it was tied to this House Bill 562, which is the budget bill. And that kept it alive. So that is still alive. And that's the bill sponsored by Michael Speciale and Larry Pittman called Gun Rights and Privacy Act.
Yep, that's a good example.
I think the lesson here is that if your legislator tells you that he has put forth a bill as if that is the end of the story, you need to say, wait a minute, let me take, you need to follow it.
Absolutely.
Because just because your legislator is doing something that you want him to do doesn't mean it's going anywhere.
Yeah. In the beginning, we were naive, and we're probably still naive, but we're making progress.
Yes.
Rainer, tell us what we discovered about how much power the Speaker of the House and the President pro tem and the Senate have. That just shocked
me. All legislators are not equal. The Speaker of the House and the President pro tem of the Senate decide what committee bills are going to be assigned to. They also decide what committees legislators are being assigned to. Can you think a minute with what we've been talking about everything living and dying in committee, how much power that gives them? What would happen if instead of that system, we were looking at votes of the whole body, where things go and who's on what committee with motions and then voting on it? Our system is designed to give a whole lot of power to a very few people, and I don't like that a bit.
One thing that I found out talking to Michael is that if you have a bill that's stuck in a committee and you want to get it out, the Speaker doesn't want to get it out, about the only thing that you can do is have a petition, and if you can get 60 signatures on the petition to take it out of committee from other legislators, then it'll happen.
But think how brave those 60 people would have to be to sign on.
Yep. Yes. That would really hurt them in all their other political aspirations.
So in listening to the process and in their caucusing process, they aren't going to propose anything that's going to embarrass them, even if it's the right thing, that they're going to only propose things that they are fairly sure will already pass. And everything
with very
else is,
few exceptions, with I think that's true.
The people who have strong values and strong principles sometimes stick their neck out, but they're few.
And I have a problem with that whole concept of caucusing, because they get together behind closed doors as an unidentified group, just say the Republican Conservative Caucus or whatever they call themselves. You don't know who is in attendance or what they discuss, but they all come out and vote as a single unit. And there's no transparency for their constituents that way.
Kim, I can see that and I understand the problem with it. But on the other hand, they are, as we've just been talking, very vulnerable. So unless they have some way of getting like-minded people under the radar to agree with them, how in the world are they going to get anything done?
Well, it's a very convoluted mess, that's obvious. And y'all are doing a good job of trying to sort it out. But we're going to take a break right now and hear from our sponsors and continue the conversation when we come back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We were discussing how bills get introduced into legislation and go through committees. And Hal, you've got some interesting statistics on that. Would you share them with us?
Well, I sure would. You know, I'm a numbers guy. I had a career as an engineer, and I like the numbers. And I got a hold of this article by Colin Campbell in the News and Observer that was on there on 30th of April, and he gave some numbers. And he's called Bills Killed by the Deadline and by the Numbers. There are 1,655 bills were filed, 349 bills passed the House, 175 bills passed the Senate, 204 bills were passed in that past week alone, in that 1 week, and only 11 of them have now become laws. So you see what a big job is still left.
When you say that 1 week, crossover week, right?
Yeah, the last week of April.
All right. And, you know, I can't help but believe that is used to manipulate the way things work also, because there is no way you can read and consume and be familiar enough with all of those bills to make a informed decision. So you have to concentrate on things that are important to you and go from there.
This same article points out that that's one of the ways, though, that they redirect the legislators' attention to the budget, which is the next big thing coming up. And that way, they're all paying attention to the budget bills because they want to tack something on to them.
Mary?
I think we saw an example of what you just said, where they really were not aware of what they were voting on with Common Core. And not only did we see it in North Carolina, we saw it in a lot of other states where the race to the top money was dangled in front of them. It looked like a good deal, and they voted on it without realizing what it was.
Another example of that is last night at the county commissioner's office meeting, the school board was going to be presenting their budget request to the county commissioners, and it's very high this year. It's like $4.2 million is what they're requesting from the county. And when we were coming in, I met up with Carr Ipock in the hallway, and I said, "Mr. Ipock, I bet you wish you'd pushed back against Common Core now." And he looked at me all surprised and said, "Why? Well, what's happened now?" And I said, "Well, what about that unfunded mandate for technology?" And he just kind of smiled and he said, "Well, we couldn't do anything about it because that decision was made in Raleigh." And I said, "Yes, you could. We're local control and you could have pushed back." And then I turned around and left.
Yeah. Getting back to what you said, Mary, about the Common Core thing, you know, they have so many consultants writing these bills and putting in all the fluff and the fancy, makes you feel so good to hear what this bill is going to do for you and all. And the details are hidden deep in the bowels of it. And they never get to it. And that's why they voted to pass it without even knowing what it was all about, is because they were sold by all these consultants that come in and with their
$400 million,
what that was going to do for us.
And there's another part of this too. We have taken the time as the CCTA to figure out how this works, but it takes time and it takes effort. If you're raising a family, working and trying to keep a house together, you don't have the time to do this. Part of our job, I think, is to share as much of this information as we can so that other people who may not have the time to get involved can at least know what's going on and know if they want to speak on an issue, know who to speak to.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. But if you are working and trying to raise a family, the one thing you need to do is be selective about where you're getting your information. You need to take the time to at least verify that you're getting the truth, because, you know, these political campaign ads, half of what comes out of them, you can't believe it. And a lot of the information you get about certain legislation is not the truth. So you have to spend a little time.
And also, Rick, the process causes it to change, because it will be one way, come out of a committee with amendments or whatever on it. So if you read it one time, make sure when you go to the General Assembly website, it's the bill that's under consideration is still the first edition or the second edition or whatever it was you read last.
Right. They have all of them listed there.
Yeah.
Right. Kim?
To add on to that, Rainer, a lot of times when they go from the House to the Senate or vice versa, they produce a substitute bill and it goes back to the other chamber. So it changes its number as well as its contents.
I think, Cal?
Well, that sounds a little confusing to me sometimes, where you see that a Senate has sent a House bill back to the House. It's going to have the House bill number on it, but it'll say referred to the House by the Senate. So you got to be careful. That's kind of interesting. But one of the things I wanted to mention was that there's several things that I particularly paid attention to, because I think they're consistent with CCTA's mission objectives and our values. And, of course, we looked at the Common Core we've been talking about, but also state sovereignty, the Second Amendment we've also mentioned, border security to do with the illegal aliens and illegal undocumented immigrants and E-Verify and things like that. And then we looked at tort reform, which we were interested in, and tax reform, and then the religious freedom bill. And of all of those, we still have some hopes about Common Core, and somehow the Second Amendment bill has been kept alive, but almost all the rest of them now, goodness knows what's going to happen to them. It's up in the air.
You know, there's something else we learned. Just because a bill passes into law doesn't mean it's going to happen. Because a lot of times there's bills we know of that we've been personally involved in, like House Bill 588.
Exactly.
It was passed into law, but it has not been enforced.
So, to go along with what you're saying, Rick, this year Senate Bill 524 was put in, and it was to increase the rigor of the founding principles because the schools were not complying with that requirement. So this takes responsibility back to the state board, and it says that they will develop the instruction, and it's specific about what the contents of the instruction are.
Part of the problem is sometimes those bills have no teeth. There's no penalty if they're not followed.
Well, what we've learned here is you've got to get involved at the beginning of the process, and you've got to stay involved all the way through the process.
Yes.
And even after it's made a law, you still have to watch it because they'll come behind and make changes. Or
one department who's been told to do something will fail to do it, and there are no consequences unless people call that to the legislators' attention.
Right. Well, we're going to take another break here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. We're in the studios here at Fernwood, and we're talking about legislative bills in North Carolina. And Kim, on cctaxpayers.com, our Legislative Action Committee keeps updates and posts on what's going on in legislation and the bills that are going on there. But tell our listeners how they can go to the NC legislation site and actually read the bills and follow what's happening.
Okay, if you just go on your search bar and type ncleg.net or in your address bar and click enter, that'll take you to the homepage of the General Assembly. And then on the right side of that opening screen, you can find a bill, and that you can search by a keyword or by a House bill or Senate bill number. If you're looking for a Senate bill, you have to make sure you put in an S before the number. If it's a House bill, an H before the number. But when I began looking at this, I just went into the search box, and it said search entire text, and then you pick the general session. So if I'm looking for something from last year, I would, you know, make sure it was 2014-15. Well, now we're in the 15-16, so you just make sure you're in 15-16, type in education, and then every bill relating to education that's under consideration comes up in a list.
And that's right. Search entire site.
And we've been talking about House Bill 588. And for those that don't know what House Bill 588 is, if you would search on House Bill 588, you would find that it's the Founding Principles Act. And it was for high school, putting in references to our founding fathers and our founding documents, to religious texts like the Ten Commandments was included. Those things to get back to our founding principles and teaching that in high school.
Well, that was signed into law by the governor back in June of 2011.
But
it still hasn't happened.
When it was written in 2011, it wasn't supposed to go into law until 2013.
2013, I think it was 2013.
Last year was the first year.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I understand
it's
that
supposed
now.
To be. I'm
yeah, whatever the school year was last year.
Well, what kind of threw me is now there's Senate Bill 524 that's the Founding Principles graduation requirement. So it seems to me that DPI didn't take the message from the legislature and start teaching a full course on the Founding Principles.
No, they have actively been trying to dodge it, actually.
And DPI last year...
Department of Public Instruction.
Yes.
June Atkinson.
Right.
they went in front of the Joint Legislative Education Oversight Committee, as I did as well, and pleaded for a change of course title for this. They thought that this was adding a course that was redundant in nature, and that the kids had all of those requirements met in third grade and in eighth grade and in civics and economics. So in an act of defiance, they just changed the name of civics and economics to include the founding principles. Well, this Senate Bill 524 is in answer to that. And it's taking the local school boards out of the picture and making the state board to require as a graduation requirement that the kids have instruction in the following founding principles. And then they list every single principle that they is required to be taught.
So the DPI, the state, is assuming more power and control.
Well, actually, they threw the local boards under the bus when they said that the local boards would do this because the local boards didn't have time to put it into their own curriculum, and no curriculum was developed. Now, this will be just like any other class that comes down from the state board that says, okay, everybody has to do this, and it'll be across the state versus counting on a local education authority to do it.
Well,
so I think it's better.
I hope so. It sounds to me like, you know, it's kind of fruitless sometimes to go through all the problem and then you get it done and it's not enforced and nobody's held accountable for it.
Well, there was a bill proposed that would require all the kids to take a civics test to graduate, and that didn't make it out of committee.
Let the parents just do a little test at home. If you think that they're getting that into civics education you're getting now, just quiz them on the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. Ask them a few questions. Ask them what the Magna Carta is. Ask them when the Revolutionary War was. How does that at the gun shows?
What is Manifest Destiny?
Yeah.
Right.
And if they can answer it, then yeah, they're probably getting that education.
They're probably homeschooled.
They're probably homeschooled, absolutely.
And they rephrase that Manifest Destiny to mean the white superiority complex. Or something similar.
Yeah,
to
that. AP history.
Well, AP history, yeah, that's worse than Common Core.
We only have a couple of minutes here, so we're going to have to wrap up. Mary, you had your...
I just want to add something. We've explained how to go to the state legislature and track bills. There is also something in the U.S. Congress called Thomas.gov that does the same thing.
Thomas,
as in Thomas Jefferson, and it was set up during the time that Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House to increase the transparency of our federal government.
Didn't work.
I just want to mention that for people who follow things on the federal level.
Right, and there's another good resource on the federal level. It's called PopVox, P-O-P-V-O-X. And they will send you notices on the legislation and keep you updated, and you can send it out and share it with other people. It's an excellent resource, PopVox, P-O-P-V-O-X. Kim?
There's a House bill that I want everybody to look at when you do your own research. It's House Bill 404, and it's about data sharing for... It's 401. It's 401, and it's data sharing, and it's crossed from the House to the Senate now, and I'd like to encourage everyone to look at that and encourage your senators not to let it move forward.
That is really sinister, in the kind of data that's there and how it's linked and who can look at it, and I've been shocked by some of the sponsors of that bill. It doesn't make any sense.
It'll allow prospective employers to check on how a child behaved in the third grade.
Well, Rainer, it sounds like the Legislative Action Committee is very busy. I know you've been making regular trips back and forth to Raleigh, to the Academic Review Committee meetings, and a number of legislators you visited on different topics, and we appreciate what you're doing. But I know our listeners are out there saying, man, they covered a lot of stuff here. How the heck are we going to remember it all? Well, you don't have to. This show will be rebroadcast on Tuesday evening at 6:30 p.m., as they always are. But all of our radio shows are archived at cctaxpayers.com. So you can go there and play it back. You can pause it, back it up, take notes, do whatever you want to. So you don't have to remember all these bill numbers now. They're going to be readily available to you at cctaxpayers.com. Also, you'll see the announcements for our upcoming public meetings, which are held the third Tuesday of every month. This month, we have a very interesting meeting coming up, and all the information on that is right there on cctaxpayers.com. Well, that's all the time we have for today. We've enjoyed being here at Fernwood Studios with all of our guests today, and we hope you join us again next week.